America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Which Eagles player scare you? And I've already seen a couple of people text in lots. If you want to be current Eagles players, and do you believe there is a spot where the Cowboys hold an advantage? I'll be really fascinated to see what comes out of that. And by fascinated, I guess I mean hopeful that people will give me more ideas, because I did go through this. I kind of struggled at finding a whole bunch of spots.
Oh, really?
Where I thought the Cowboys would hold an advantage.
Oh, no, so, no. Yeah, you definitely struggle with that. I can see.
There's that.
Did you see that interception N'Kobe Dean had in the end zone last week? That was that was an athletic play.
The Georgia guys, for them, have really, really been picking it up. And it is kind of terrifying. I'm going to go back to, this is the one thing I found in confidence. And you might be like, hey, that doesn't really help because that's in the past. Well, this is what I have to present to you. Dallas wins divisional games.
Okay.
All right. Like, it seems like even when they're bad, they do pretty solidly in divisional games. But going back to the beginning of 2021, Cowboys have the second best divisional record in all of football, behind only the Kansas City Chiefs, who are 17-3. Now, and the Cowboys are 16-3. Now, I know the agitating part about that is you're like, hey, we're the second best to the guy that wins Super Bowls and the team that wins Super Bowls. But I will tell you, while everything else has been falling apart for the Cowboys team, this is going to be the last step to see, can they still hold strong against divisional teams? Because if they can, and they can thrive against divisional teams, well, maybe they can do something and make the playoffs with a terrible record or a not great record. But if they can't, which unfortunately is what I'm thinking, then it's going to be tough to find stuff to hang your hat on.
Kevin, I don't blow up your Cowboys win, Cowboys lose for tomorrow.
Okay.
How are they against Vic Fangio? Because
that's a good question.
Mike McCarthy previously was 6-1 against Vic Fangio.
Ooh, okay.
And in the last two encounters with Dak, he's 0-2. And Vic Fangio, like, this was the moment, right? Whenever he said, hey, we're playing this shell protection, we're just playing deep. We're going to stop you from doing what you love to do, and that's making big plays downfield. And since then, it seems like the entire league was just like, all right, that's what we're doing too. We're going to force you to try to run the ball. We just do not want you striking downfield against us. And so that's what I fear.
Okay.
Now, the one thing I will say is this isn't Dak. And if you go, I did go back and watch Cooper Rush, and Cooper Rush drops back, gets the ball out quick, has good anticipation. There are some good qualities about him. I do wonder if that quick decision-making, if the Eagles can take advantage of that a little bit. And they're like, we know he has a clock he's trying to get it out before then. He's not going to make any plays with his feet. Like, you're not expecting him to run around, extend plays. So I do feel like the Vic Fangio is where I fear at the moment, because his defense, in the last couple of times that the Cowboys have met up with him, has really shut the Cowboys down pretty well.
Obviously, I'm going to throw Saquon Barkley in there.
Why?
Because if I didn't, Micah Parsons would. Now, he said this about Saquon Barkley, I believe, on his podcast on Monday. The Giants didn't appreciate him, and now the rest of the league is facing the consequences of the Giants' stupidity.
It's a fact.
Wow.
Like, that is a fact.
I mean, him and Derrick Henry Have they been the two biggest players for new teams?
I was
non-rookie.
I was listening yesterday, and Peyton, who's on Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton show.
The host of WrestleMania.
Yeah. And I agree with you, Alec, on the boo. He said that that's the best offseason pickup for any team. And everybody was like, what about Derrick Henry? You know, and then your mind immediately goes, yes.
Yeah.
But those two running backs, they fall into situations perfect for them because the Eagles were looking for something to balance out what their offense is downfield. And Barkley is perfect for that because he does everything behind the line, right beyond the line, and he can bust downfield too. So, yes, Saquon Barkley, fear.
Okay, Saquon Barkley, fear. Other offensive things to look at. A.J. Brown. Now, I know the concern that people might be thinking is, hey, maybe he's not going to play. Or maybe that's what you're hoping for. Because he had a knee injury in the Jags game, and he already missed a few weeks with a hamstring injury. He returned to practice. It's still kind of touch and go. You know, Mike McCarthy said CeeDee Lamb had a good day. Mike Parsons said he's going to play in this game. And so A.J. Brown looks like he's trending to be much more likely in this game than maybe I might have thought on Sunday or Monday. And even though he's already missed several games, he still has 23 catches for 444 yards. So he's averaging, what, like 19 yards per catch and has three touchdowns in his five games. So if he plays, it still feels like inherently he'll automatically be a threat.
You know, when T.O. was an Eagle, it was the fear of him going downfield and beating you downfield, but then also on those drag routes, he could turn it into a 40-yard play.
Unless you horse-carled him and broke his leg.
Yes, exactly, unless you horse-carled him.
I lost that word.
It's okay, horse-collared. But that was the, like, you knew that T.O. was that kind of receiver. A.J. Brown's like that, too, where he turns a crossing pattern into a huge play, and you're trying to tackle him, but he's so big that he's tough to tackle. A.J. Brown is a huge weapon. We discussed yesterday, Kevin, Devontae Smith plays, he's like, is it the Ant-Man? You know, like he plays bigger than he is. He plays Mighty Mouse. I haven't even looked for a nickname on him, but there are plays that he makes that I'm like, that's a play I would expect A.J. Brown to make. Now, A.J. Brown will just stiff arm you and shoulder you to the ground. But when it comes to, you know, reaching up and grabbing a football out of the air or just being out in front of you, Devontae Smith makes fantastic catches too. It's a perfect combination with those three. So that's where I say my biggest fear is Jalen Hurts. He's not running as much, but he can run effectively.
He can.
The tush push is still as effective as it has ever been. And he is playing confident and more accurate than we've seen him. Then we saw him last year. He's almost back to 2 years ago.
Not turned the ball over. Yeah. That's a huge thing. He is not turning the ball over.
Was it in training camp? Was it every day or were they counting down? They were like, he hasn't turned it over at all. And everybody was like, is that good or bad?
Because you hear the stats like, oh, for a while, most turnovers this year, then most turnovers this year and last year, and then the last 3 years combined. So you continue to see it again and again, but he's been relatively clean these last 3 or 4 weeks.
Everybody's saying Slim Reaper. That's the Devontae Smith nickname.
There you go.
The dude has a nice fit every day going in on game day as well.
Now, we talked about a lot of offensive stuff, and obviously you can go back if you want to. Lane Johnson is still good at football and all. That their offensive line is still good at football and all of that.
Duke Manyweather, you trust him on offensive line
stuff? I do. He was standing up for Terrence Steele after that game last weekend.
Correctly. So he said Lane Johnson is playing at a level that nobody's seen.
Yeah.
And right now, like he's the elite offensive lineman. And that's saying something considering how long he's been in the league and how long he's been doing it.
So that's a lot, right?
It's a lot. Especially when you feel like you're a team that's missing a lot.
And then the bad part that I'm going to say is the defense is actually playing better than the offense right now. So we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Since the bye week, so Philadelphia rolled into their bye 2-2. Not really looking too good. Had the bye week. Since week 6, they are first in the following defensive categories. Total defense, passing defense, rushing defense, defensive points allowed per game, and sacks. Now, you consider that you just went up against a team in the Falcons that had been getting no pressure on anybody. There were eight players in the league that had more sacks than the Atlanta Falcons as a team. And did you feel like the offensive line did a good job against Atlanta? Not really, no. Right? Like as a whole unit, not singling out individual players. And so if you're struggling against the worst, like what in the world is this offensive line going to do against what defense has been the best the last month of NFL football?
Yeah. And you feel confident that Lamb is going to get open? That Lamb is going to give you an opportunity for... Okay, so that's a no.
Okay.
Okay, then what I'm about to say isn't going to be any better.
Okay, can I tell you why I sighed too? Is because they pushed the ball to CeeDee Lamb in the last game. Like, they absolutely got the ball to CeeDee Lamb, but it didn't have an impact in terms of yardage. He got targeted 12 times in the last game. He had 8 catches for 47 yards.
Okay.
So, like,
that's
they made a focus.
Not efficient.
Let's get the ball to him, and he wasn't able to get down the field, partially because there wasn't a lot of time to throw the ball.
So, to add to that, then, because of the pressure that you're assuming, Cooper DeJean?
DeJean. Is it DeJean? I thought it was DeJean.
Since week 6, 85.7 coverage grade, third among all cornerbacks.
Great.
Quinyon Mitchell has literally been perfect for the last month. Targeted 15 times, only allowed 8 catches, 73 total yards, no touchdowns allowed. So when it comes to what they're doing as a cornerback, slot corner, wherever they put them on the field, the grades are high for those guys, and they're playing at an elite level. And again, Fangio has had a tradition of having players that play at that level. So that's you know, Mitchell, plug-and-play kind of dude. It's they have that on that side of the ball.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All and the Cowboys have that to contend to with a backup quarterback.
And then we get to Jalen Carter, who I actually, the further we go into this segment, the less I like it, because like I told you, I was struggling for some positivity with this specific matchup. Jalen Carter, he tied for a career high in pressures.
It was Jacksonville, Kevin.
Okay. Fair.
Right? Does that count?
Jacksonville does stink.
Okay.
But consider this.
So there's some hope.
He had 6 pressures against Jacksonville. 3 of them were against double teams. So half of the pressures he got were off of double teams. And I know we're like, well, you got a chip. You got to be able to double team. Okay. Agreed. I'm just telling you that when that happened last week, Jalen Carter still had his way. And if we talk about Jacksonville sucking, well, our record's not that much better than Jacksonville.
One more win.
Hell yeah.
And Kevin, he was...
You want more losses at this point so you can get a better draft pick.
That is a fair assessment, probably.
Are you going to root for the Cowboys to lose?
I don't think I can do that, even though, Mike, like, your question is totally fine, totally normal. I know it's better for the long-term health of this team if they start piling up losses right now. But I'm telling you, if it's 20 to 17, there's a minute left, and the Cowboys are driving to try to win the game, I'm going to be rooting for them to win, even though the other part of my brain's like, it's best if they lose. I don't think I'm very good at being able to like separate those things, you know?
Last year there was kind of a, what's going on with Jalen Carter? Why isn't he on the field? Why isn't he doing that? And last year he was on the field for about 51% of his snaps as a rookie.
Yeah. And the last game he was in the game a ton.
This year he's so far 79% of the snaps. Last week he only left the field twice. So he's going to be out there so much, and he is that effective now. He caught up to what the NFL game is, and he was already that good in college.
And if you wonder, how does that translate? What do people think about the way he's playing? He's third in NFL interior linemen in a pass rush grade at an 84.7. So, to Corey's point, he's getting on the field more and more. And
he's as good. He never drops off.
Yes.
So, good luck there. All right, I got it.
Tell me a good thing. I realize there's a lot of...
It's only one game.
That's true.
It's only 3 hours of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll be over.
Oh, well, it wasn't as positive as I was hoping for.
I got you. This year.
You never know.
Jake Elliott, the Eagles kicker, is 100% on his extra points.
Related to Lynn Elliott?
No, I don't know. But only 77% on field goal attempts.
Okay.
We have an advantage, Kevin. In Brandon Aubrey.
Look.
And his long is 49. Our dude's long is like 60-something almost.
49 is probably Brandon Aubrey's like seventh longest kick this year.
He closes his eyes and does that backwards.
I'll tell you, if we can slog out...
That would be amazing. I want him to try that. Kick it backwards, like with his heel.
See how he can do it?
I guess I would be kicking it backwards. I'd just be kicking it with your heel, but you go into it backwards. You really show Saquon who's the backwards guy.
I support any Cowboys game where they can get into an ugly game now where it turns into a battle of the field goals. Rest of the year. This weekend, next week, every game. If you can drive this thing into the muck and you're like, this game is awful to watch, but it's a battle of field goals. Great. Because I think we're going to do way better with that than we would.
Unfortunately, though, Kevin, just looking at the last 4 weeks for them, and granted, Cleveland, Giants, Cincinnati, Jacksonville, it's 20-plus points every week.
And the thing that worries me is, I know Cincinnati still doesn't have a great record. They have been playing better, and Philadelphia, like, squashed their momentum, so then they had to start building it up again.
We'll do it. We'll figure it out.
Okay, good. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, how about some NFL overreaction or reality next on The Fan?
Protection back in the end zone. Hopkins got him there and got him in.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got Mike Likes It coming up in just a little bit. But right now, it's time for some NFL overreaction or reality. Now, NFL overreaction or reality. The Cowboys' fake punt against the Falcons was the dumbest play you've seen all season. I know that covers a lot of ground. But it was pretty dumb. No, for all football teams, or at least all the football you've seen.
I've seen a lot of dumb plays this year, but because of, I don't know, where does Stevenson's getting after the Washington fans rank?
That's pretty bad. That got him benched.
And then
he's
the one that tips it to the receiver for the loss.
Okay.
I'll put that up there.
The Cowboys' fake punt against the Falcons was the second dumbest play you have seen all season.
All right. I'll accept that one.
All right.
Because it didn't work. Your team didn't know what they were doing. Their team knew what you were doing, and it looked desperate. You're in a desperate place right now anyway. Your head coach, some of your coaching staff, all doesn't have, you know, futures here probably because they are not going to be rehired.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. Oh, that's a 1 year deal, right?
Is he going to be back? They get a new head coach?
The head coach chooses the coordinators here.
In theory, that's a good point.
No, I think he was being sarcastic.
Yes,
Kevin.
He was.
So, I would say just it, you know, Broadus said it completely encapsulated this season so far.
What about the play where the San Francisco 49ers ran into each other? That feels like a bad defensive play.
That was pretty bad.
Okay, then if you want to do that, what about the play where Diggs was like, I don't know where I'm supposed to be
lined
up.
And we didn't call a timeout. That look, that's partially on Diggs. Whoops. And I know.
There's nothing wrong
I don't,
with that.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's probably smart that's that what, you dump that.
That's a man's name.
It is. It's on Diggs. Especially Zimmer didn't help, and he goes, I don't know, it's so complicated. It was a man on man. And so, like, he really didn't help Diggs out in that situation at all. But why didn't we call a timeout? One of your defenders is like, I don't know where to go. And we're like, you'll probably figure it out.
He's the good one. He's the good one out there. He'll figure it out, I'm sure. Just hang out around that area.
Yeah.
You know what? You know what's really...
It didn't work.
You know what's really crazy? My kid's middle school game, that exact same scenario happened.
No.
And I was like, it's middle school. See, that's supposed to
exactly.
happen.
Exactly. That's not crazy because they're in seventh grade or eighth grade or whatever. It's crazy when one of your top players is doing that and the coaching staff either doesn't see it or doesn't care and was like, it'll be fine. Let's just go ahead and run the play. And then after the play, they were like, what happened?
Why didn't you know what you were doing? I tried to tell y'all.
Yeah. And I'm like, hey, guess what? The quarterback probably was smart enough to be like, all right, I found my target who has no idea what he's supposed to do assignment-wise on defense. I'm going to throw it to his guy.
And the quarterback was Kirk Cousins, who is a smart quarterback.
Yes. And that's what they did.
He's a smart quarterback.
And it worked.
Yep. He knew exactly what to do.
All right.
And he went to his guy, Kevin, that I said, you should fear the most on that team.
Their connection this year is really impressive.
Yeah.
Mike, you'll enjoy this one.
Okay.
NFL overreaction or reality. Very quickly, the Chiefs have figured out exactly how to deploy DeAndre Hopkins. So they brought DeAndre Hopkins as a guy. They brought him in and said, hey, win a one-on-one. I don't need you to be explosive. Just be reliable. And you just saw in this last game, they figured it out, and they figured out, at least in that game, how to capitalize on it.
Who knows what he has left? I get the people that were like, I think Hopkins is way past his prime. He's not good anymore.
Sure.
I'm not going to argue that. I will say this. Over the last 2 years, last year when they won the Super Bowl, and this year as they're undefeated, he's dealing with a lot of receivers that are inexperienced and don't know the NFL. Nothing against Xavier Worthy if you're a UT fan and hoping he ends up being great. He just doesn't know yet. He's learning the NFL, and he does. The other day when he was wide open, he didn't know how to stay in bounds yet in the NFL.
Yep.
Like, that was a touchdown or down the 1 yard line. You just have to, I'm wide open. My job is one, to catch the ball, two, to make sure my feet are in bounds. Very easy play, and he screwed it up. And you're dealing with, and I always forget the dude's name, little dude who sucked. He's like out of the NFL.
Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, and there's another dude too that was a second round pick. They thought he's going to be Tyreek Hill. He's Tyreek Nill.
Sky Moore?
Yeah, Sky Moore.
Okay, that was not bad. I enjoyed that burn right there.
And so I think what DeAndre Hopkins gives him is a veteran guy who understands the NFL, who is still quick enough and talented enough to get open. Not all the time. He's not CD Lamb like he used to be, you know, in that category. But man, what Patrick Mahomes has been dealing with over the last 2 years is guys that are either bad at their job or inexperienced at their job and struggle at it on the outside. And so this gives him a veteran guy who knows what he's doing.
NFL overreaction or reality, the Commanders are the most surprising in a positive way team in the NFL this season. I know we've talked about the Jets probably being the most disappointing, but do you think the Commanders are the most positively surprising team in the NFL this year?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I would wonder about the Vikings, maybe the Cardinals, but I do feel like it's the Commanders at the top.
I expected rookie struggles from the quarterback position and what I've seen so far. I mean, remember at the beginning of the season, we were like, oh man, he was good, but you know, he's not doing much. And they were just giving him a feel for the game. And I expected that they didn't have the talent to turn the defense around fast enough. I just didn't think they could do all the things they needed to do quickly enough. And Dan Quinn has said, you know, I know how to do this quickly. Having been a defensive coordinator for a Super Bowl champ, been a head coach on a Super Bowl team, which the Cowboys would tell you he should have won that Super Bowl.
Right.
And then on the other side of it, play, you know, being the guy that was running this defense for as long. And they turned that defense around pretty quickly, too.
Now, and Mike, you said for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you brought up Minnesota. I get it. I mean, I guess you could
if
bring
Minnesota
up.
If Minnesota was like undefeated or something still, then I'd probably have to be like, well, it's got to be them.
I mean, I would say, I know you said the Jets. I wasn't sure if you said most disappointing.
Yes.
Is if you're asking that question, I would say in that division, I think I messed up on Miami.
Miami's probably pretty high up on the list. Any chance the Broncos work their way into this conversation?
Well, it could be.
You had them with Carolina when we were in the offseason. Our conversations were...
Like, there's no way he's ready for this.
Yeah.
In the first game, it looked like, yeah, he's not ready.
No, that
for
is
this.
True. And there was another game where it definitely looked like that.
Mike had them. It was Carolina, New England, and the Broncos.
Which
were all
I don't
that
think
trio.
Was a fringy opinion
not
at the time.
Not at all.
Now the Jaguars are in that conversation.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Kevin, a lot of people saying the Falcons are a surprise team for them because
I could see that
they had a lot of talent there. They just didn't have a quarterback, and a lot of people didn't think that Kirk Cousins was a good draft quarterback.
Penix. Well, especially after the first game,
they got
when
two
we're
veterans
like
veterans in the offseason, yeah. one in the draft and one in, from
yes,
because
he's an older player. I understand your ageism about him, but
did you say he was a veteran of World War II? Is that what you were trying to say? That
no, I'm just saying he's like, yeah, this guy has played pretty like 17 years in college football, and then he finally decided to declare himself eligible for the draft by throwing sidearm.
But then it also looked like Kirk Cousins' leg wasn't going to hold up.
Yeah.
Like he
looked
the first
slow.
Game
their
or two?
Offensive line looked slow, and they quickly fixed a lot of things.
Don't worry. They got the left-handed Dan Quisenberry in the NFL.
You do not believe in Michael Penix, do you? He's like, he's 28 years old. He throws his sidearm.
Speaking of, real quick.
He could do that fake punt thing where you throw
that's
it.
That's true.
Because they're like, yeah, it was so low, I couldn't tell if it was his arm or foot.
Speaking of, when Mahomes the other night, like, I know the play didn't go anywhere, but Mahomes is running to his left and then switches hands and throws left-handed and gets it out of bounds.
Yeah.
And then Joe Buck was like, Troy, you think you could do that? And he just laughed, was like, that's just silly. Like, what this guy does is just silly. He's like, I got 3 Super Bowls. This dude's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I know this could be a tough sell because the team went 12-5 last year. But overreaction or reality, Dan Campbell is making a great case for NFL Coach of the Year.
Yeah, I think so, especially now losing Aiden Hutchinson. I know that was in the Cowboy game. So you have to say he was in that game. That game was decided by the time he got hurt. But he's going to have to coach the rest of this season without a top 5 defensive player in the whole game.
Yes.
And if he ends up going 14-3, 13-4, getting the number 1 seed in the NFC, I think that is very deserving of Coach of the Year.
Go ahead and crown him now, man.
Wow.
From Glen Rose.
Okay.
Finally,
we
could have
had him. He was in our backyard, Texas A&M.
Time for him to get what he deserves.
Yeah.
Or Cowboys. But yeah. Texas A&M could have had him, and he could have taken, I don't know, the Wegman dude and made him a quarterback in college football. I don't know if anybody can, honestly.
Hopefully, either him or Marcel Reed
will
get it
going. He'll be playing for San Antonio State next year, right?
Oh,
Wegman.
Yeah,
he's leaving, maybe. Right?
I could see that. The rest of this year will actually probably tell us a lot. Now, this is something Mike Florio brought up, and I disagree with part of his assertion, but not the last part. Overreaction or reality, there should be a flex option for Thanksgiving. Now, I want to explain this a little bit more.
Like on your pants?
No, for the football games.
Oh, okay.
Yo, but you should absolutely.
Are you talking about the night game?
Okay. So he was not, which is where I disagree.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I disagree with that for sure. Because he was like, for a long time, Detroit wasn't good. Now the Cowboys don't look good. Dude, the Cowboys Thanksgiving game is literally the highest rated regular season game every single year.
It won't matter.
Exactly.
And this year it's the Giants. Play.
Exactly. But in the night, but what do you think about the night game? Because
you didn't get
it's
my sarcasm.
It's yes. People will still watch it. Huh. It's Miami at Green Bay, which right now does not look like the most fantastic matchup. You've seen other flexes, and we've talked about the flex into Thursday Night Football. What do you think about the idea of whatever the night game is being an option for flex? Because the one thing I thought about that could be problematic is I feel like more than most Thursday Night games, people might like plan their travel and plan their week around going to that game.
I would say most teams would say no to this.
I agree.
They don't want 2 weeks of preparation to go. It's not like you're moving from Sunday noon to Sunday at 7 p.m. You're moving from Sunday at noon to Thursday at 7 p.m.
Yes.
They're like, no coach wants that.
Yeah.
The players don't want that. I don't think ownership might because of the eyes on Thursday night football for Thanksgiving night. But I think most teams would say, no, I don't want this flex. I don't want to get flexed to a Thursday. That's a punishment, not a privilege.
Yeah, think about we're already in our minds planning the next few weeks here and how we're going to get through all of this and accomplish this because there's a lot of communication that has to go on. And they're already telling their players a couple weeks ago to start preparing for this quick turnaround and also making sure your families are all taken care of and all that stuff. So I would say no.
NFL overreaction or reality, and I know this division has been brought up a lot, the Cardinals are the best team in the NFC West. We've talked about them.
I don't think so. Okay. In the end, I still think San Francisco is going to win the division.
Okay. It's interesting, by the way, their coach is still kind of cagey about Christian McCaffrey. Yeah. I know they activated him into his 21-day practice window, but he's like, oh, is he going to play? We'll see.
I know. I really need them to figure that out because Jordan Mason and Grenando are on my fantasy bench right now.
I don't know if he's going to tip his hand immediately for that.
He might not even tip his hand up to game time.
Yes,
so.
That is very fair.
You don't have to tip when you're in Italy.
Oh,
that's true. Overseas, they think it's not like that. A lifestyle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just remember that. You can give them a dollar or two.
That is a helpful note. Thank you. Yeah. Or do they do lira there? Or is everyone Euros? The euro?
Yeah.
Okay. NFL overreaction or reality? Jared Goff will set the all-time record for best completion percentage. That is currently held by Drew Brees, 74.4%. Whew. In case you're curious, Drew Brees is also second at 74.3% in that ensuing season. Right now, Jared Goff's at 74.9%. He's completed 83% of his passes in the last six games.
Do you happen to have... Actually, I have it right here. So he has 211 attempts.
Okay.
What's that on pace for this year?
So that would put him at about 420, give or take.
And the year that Drew Brees had that, 72... He had 72%. He had 500 passes.
So he's throwing the ball way more.
He was at 489 the year he had 74.3. Okay. So I do feel like that was like that's different and unique. But even still, to complete that number and for your team to be winning the way it is, that's a huge important part of it. Because even those never mind. They were 11-5 and 13-2 those years with Drew Brees.
They did just fine. All right, bonus, because somebody brought this back up. And maybe we'll talk about this more as we get closer. From the 682. Y'all should circle back about this. I bet, Kevin, the ratings will be bad compared to the past. Not as many people will watch the Cowboys in that game. So what do you think is a reasonable drop for that game? So I'm saying, like, usually that game gets, I think, like 35-ish, 38-ish million people. I tell you,
30 million?
It might drop 10% and no more. What say you?
I don't know. I'd have to see when the Cowboys were bad. Like, let's take the year Romo played Carolina and they were like 2-8 and people were like, but if you went out, I was like, shut up. And then he got hurt in that game, I think, too. Like, I don't know. I'd have to go look up how many people watched that game. Now, that was, I think, the year that Carolina went 15-1. This is a bad New York Giants team, but they do have a lot of fans. This is obviously a bad Cowboys team. They have the most fans.
Yes.
As you were talking, I actually was looking up movie times for Thursday.
on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, so I think I'm going to go see Gladiator with the family at 6:15.
Okay.
So I'll watch till halftime at my parents' house, and then we're leaving. Like, I'll record it and talk about it the next day, but I don't care at all about that game.
Would anything change? Like, I realize this is a fantastical situation, but if Trey Lance was in there and it was 28-10 because he had thrown four touchdown passes in the first half, Would you stick around then?
I've already bought the tickets.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So the the Panthers game that Tony Romo left midway through, is that the one you were
mentioning? So. Yeah, that was a bad
32.49 million viewers in 2015.
All right. So still,
you're probably going to get 30 million viewers or more.
Either way. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. How about some Mike Likes It?
So we continue on from Baseball Nuggets. If you weren't listening to Baseball Nuggets, I talked about Roki Sasaki. It looks like he's going to get posted. He is going to be a major leaguer next year. He's a 23-year-old pitcher from Japan. The Rangers are in love with him. The Dodgers are in love with him. I believe there's a couple other teams that are like super in love with him. This is going to be a very competitive market. But, Kevin, I was looking up articles, and you really helped me out on this. It's not a competitive market before December 15th.
Yes.
Or by December 15th, it could become competitive, but right now we have a month of a non-competitive market.
Okay, so essentially, that's when the new like business year starts. And so for 2025, once you get past December 15th, that resets.
That's when 2025 starts with your international pool
exactly.
of money.
And as you can probably guess, the Dodgers are not at the top of that list of teams for pool money because it usually kind of goes like the draft in somewhat reverse order between 4.7 and I believe $7.2 million. But that's after December 15th. Until then, you're still under the 2024 calendar.
Yeah.
And guess who has been keeping their money most of the year?
I read the article with you.
Yes, thanks, Mike. The Los Angeles Dodgers. The Los Angeles Dodgers still have $2.5 million of money left in their international signing pool. Now, you can use all of that however you want. Like, if we got past into the next year and the Rangers were like, I'm going to use all $6.24 million on Sasaki. They could absolutely do that. But if he decides he's going to sign before December 15th, the team with the most money to spend this year is the Dodgers. Well, guess what? The Dodgers with Ohtani and Yamamoto, they have already become a destination. Well, plus the fact that they won the damn World Series. So most money, and why would you not go there? That would be a no-brainer.
Here's what scares me, is the Dodgers are a very good organization. Why are they withholding $2.5 million as most of, if not all of, the best Dominican players, Venezuelan players, your Latin American players that aren't in the draft? Why did they hold back $2.5 million if they think that Sasaki is going to wait till after December 15th? If they know that, that date is coming up very soon.
Yes.
If they know that he's going to wait till after December 15th for the Texas Rangers, maybe the Seattle Mariners, the San Francisco Giants, if they know that he's waiting till then, why wouldn't they have already spent that money to get more prospects in their organization?
I think
that's the scary part as a Ranger fan and just logically looking at this. The Dodgers withheld $2.5 million from this pot because they believe that that is going immediately to Sasaki and they are getting the number one pitching prospect on the market.
And think about this. If it flips over to the next business year, I think the Dodgers would get something like, I don't know, $4.8 million. You're not going to roll that over either. And the Rangers have $6.26 million. So you might be like advantage Rangers, but maybe not. Because think about this. As a player that's less than 25 years old, he is considered an amateur. And that's why he goes into the international pool and everything like that. As opposed to Yamamoto, who waited until he was 25 and got $325 million. So I guess my point is, do you think the guy who's already 23 and is like, I'm not going to wait two more years to get all of the money, he might not be only driven by money as opposed to maybe he's like, hey, let's get this first deal done. Then I can get to my second contract and get my Shohei money. Or you know what I'm saying? Like, it seems like maybe money is not the sole motivating factor, which will hurt the Rangers.
If he stayed over in Japan for this upcoming season and the next season and then came over in 2020, 2027 season, because he had the two on the 2026. He comes over in the 2027 season and he stays healthy and does what he's doing. He is probably a $400 million pitcher on the market. Now, maybe you limit yourself tremendously to you're just an LA Dodger, a New York Yankee, a New York Met, maybe a San Francisco Giant, maybe a Seattle Mariner. But the problem is, from what I understand, the Mariners aren't that big of a market anymore at all in Japan. Not saying Japanese players wouldn't go to Seattle, is that Japanese people living in Japan are not watching the Seattle Mariners. They don't care. Ichiro was a long time ago for them.
Yeah.
He's not. They only watch the Dodgers. I'm not saying only, but that is their national team. Baseball's their number one sport, and their number one team is the Dodgers because they cornered the market with Otani and then Yamamoto, yes. And so that is their team. And then if they got the next guy, Sasaki, that money that is being brought in from Japan to the LA Dodgers, the Dodgers are like, why not just keep cornering this market? And the other thing, too, to your point is, if the dude isn't willing to wait for $400 million 2 years from now, as long as he stays healthy and keeps doing well, then why would he be like, well, the Rangers are going to give me $5 million, and it doesn't even all go to him. Most of it goes to his team.
The signing bonus will go to him, and that could be 11-ish million.
So as much as I'm talking about him, as much as I know that the Rangers want this guy, and I would love to get him because the dude has unbelievable stuff, which I talked about earlier. Fastball and split finger are awesome. Has to work on his breaking ball stuff to be really successful, righty on righty. But I look at this and go, the Dodgers withheld $2.5 million. They did it for a reason. They withheld that money. They didn't sign some of the better Latin American prospects. Because why? Because they probably know that he's going to us, the Dodgers. We're going to have to give the $2.5 million to slash him, but slash his Japanese team. If it gets past December 15th, Ranger fans, if it does, then I think he's not going to the Dodgers. That will be my opinion.
Yeah, and the thing I keep going back to in terms of that hope is Chris Young can be a very persuasive fella.
He went over there a couple times.
Exactly.
Other people in the front office went over there a couple times. They have tried their best to set the groundwork and the framework to say the Texas Rangers are the place you need to be.
And by the way, if people are curious, let's say you did use your entire international signing pool on Sasaki, then you can still make signings, but you are limited. All your signings have to be $10,000 or less after that. So you can essentially make like your veteran minimum signings.
Yeah. Can I ask this question? Yeah. And I don't know if you know this or not. I'm going to go off of, I was talking to my agent last night about the Sasaki situation. He's not tied at all to Sasaki. He's not a client or anything like that. And he was saying that sometimes you can go over your bonus pool money, but there are penalties. So maybe you use $6 million on him and you end up spending, I'm just throwing out a number here, $400,000 on Latin American players. And it sounds like you can go over it, but there are penalties for going over it.
I think that has changed in the last couple of years. I'm not 100% on that, but I thought they changed it because now you can make trades for more space. Okay. So I think that's the way they were like, it's a hard cap, but we're going to help you out and say you can make some trades, because that's how the Rangers have $6.26 million. That's how certain teams have more than they were originally slotted, is you can make some trades that will essentially give you more international pool money.
Okay. And then,
but Baseball America says it is a hard cap.
Okay.
With no exception.
Okay. Thank you. That, I think you just answered the question. I was trying to look this up, and tell me if I'm just stupid. When they pick the AL Rookie of the Year, is that official now that it is Hill, the GIL, the pitcher for? Because I have here that he was named Baseball Digest AL's like Rookie of the Year.
Okay.
But then I'm confused. I'm like, is that the official one? Because I don't think it's the official one, because it says that Paul Skenes was for the National League. And I think that would be a bigger story right now in baseball if it was official, because remember, if Wyatt Langford, have they named the three finalists? Because if Wyatt Langford's in the three finalists, you do get more international spending money if he finishes second or third.
I do not think that is the official.
Yeah, and I have not
heard. It'll be announced November 18th.
Oh, there you go.
And have we not heard the finalists? I don't think we have we? Because that will help out the Rangers, too, if it gets past December 15th, right? Because you get a free first-round pick if you win Rookie of the Year, which is an amazing deal. If you can have a guy who wins Rookie of the Year, that you get a free first-round pick. So last year, the Orioles and the Diamondbacks had an extra first-round pick because of their Rookie of the Year. And then if you finish second or third in Rookie of the Year, they give you more international spending money. And then I'm like, if it gets past December 15th, maybe there's an extra, I don't know, $500,000 put on your spending money.
And usually it does go in increments of $250,000, I do believe. Okay. So that could happen.
Okay, so anyways.
Wyatt Langford was good.
He was.
I think winning Rookie of the Month and then Player of the Month in September should put him in the top three.
Yeah, I agree.
Why am I drawing a blank on the Oriole guy who had a pretty darn good rookie year? It's not Colton Cowser, I don't think.
Yes, Colton Cowser.
Okay, because they had Westberg. Yeah,
Cowser and Skeens were the last two on the top of the MLB.com polls.
Okay, and so I'm assuming since Luis Hill won the Baseball Digest American League Rookie of the Year, he will probably be one of the three finalists. I'm just hoping Wyatt Langford sneaks in there. He's not going to win Rookie of the Year at all.
Wonder about Austin Wells.
Yeah. I'm just like, yeah. And it's just like, man, it would really help out the Rangers. Because last year we got, a little bit screwed. I still thought that Josh Jung should have been a Rookie of the Year candidate. I get that Gunnar Henderson should have won it.
Yeah.
But it did hurt the Rangers that he fell out of the top three, because then they lost a few dollars in the international spending pot.
Yeah.
That's it.
Very fascinating international monetarily driven edition of Mike Likes It. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors and I do believe a special guest.
Yeah, we'll talk with Kyle Yeomans from DallasCowboys.com next on The Fan.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!